Welcome to the podcast from Stazza's Stable, The Stable Master Speaks. My name is John Starrett, aka The Stable Master. And as regular listeners know, this podcast is not in any way, shape or form scripted. Any bloopers or mistakes stay in for your amusement and my horror. Also, we don't do the patron thing, the sponsorship thing or begging for money. In fact, we do the opposite. We give away the best prizes on the planet of any podcast, running or otherwise. So the evidence is there. We've already given away 2 2-week trips to the Caribbean, 2 2-week trips to Mauritius, and 4 pairs of super shoes. And we're going to be giving away more prizes too. But just a quick one here, just to say thanks to everybody for all of the feedback. Loads of people entered the competition, and the answer to the competition was, of course, Mackenzie. And there are going to be more competitions coming, so stay tuned. We're going to be giving away super shoes and a really, really big prize that I'm going to announce in this podcast. So listen carefully to my ramblings and you might be able to answer it and win the prize. Who knows? So whilst I was talking there about the feedback and people were glad that I was alive and I got through Mauritius okay and Kenya okay and that I'm home safe and sound, other people were also excited about me moving out to Thailand for the next year or so and what's going to ensue from there. But not all of the feedback was positive. We actually had, 99.9% of it was positive, but we have to have a look at everything. And on this podcast, we're going to deal with things fairly. So let's address the constructive criticism. So we had a message from Carolyn Morton from New Zealand. Carolyn said, and I'll read this out, "Some listeners are interested in the podcast for that serious running stuff and not very interested in all the chit-chat, Just saying, as the last one was 99% rambling." Thanks for the feedback there, Carolyn. You sound like a lovely lady. I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you sometime. Yeah, I think it's important to address, you know, what you're saying, because it sounds like you're not the brightest Kiwi down there. So let me explain a few things for you. I don't like to explain the nuance and brilliance of my humour and wit, but this time I think I might have to. So with the ramblings, I was just basically informing people of where I'd been, because I did the last podcast in August last year and I just disappeared off the face of the planet, and people were interested to know what had happened and they kept asking for the podcast to come back, because as they all said, it's the best running podcast out there, because there's no nonsense, no ramblings generally. It's all hard-hitting, fast-talking, training talk for serious runners and beginners alike. So I think I might have to explain a few things to you. Now, in the previous podcast, I did title it Intro. Basically, that was to cover where I'd been and to talk about what the future podcasts are going to be about. And again, it received great feedback. I'm aware that there wasn't much running content in there. And I did mention that to a few people in their feedback. Say, look, don't worry, there's going to be loads more running content. But people said, no, they like the mixture between the running stuff and my globe-trotting shenanigans and ramblings. So let me explain a few things to you. Okay. So what I do with these podcasts, it's like a little bit like a novel or a movie, because you don't give everybody everything all at once in one go. As I said in the previous podcast, I think twice, we peel the onion slowly. So the things that I was talking about in the first podcast, some of the little things that you might have missed, you'll find that they're little threads that run through the whole of the podcast, and they will come to a climax in December. So stay tuned, Kaza, and I think you might enjoy it. But I don't know, I kind of get the impression that you're more of a wham bam thank you ma'am up the alley sort of woman. Whereas me, I tend to, there's a place for that sort of stuff, absolutely. But for me, I'm kind of I like to make love slowly. So when I get up in the morning, I'm sitting there with my coffee and Jelly Baby walks down and she empties a dishwasher. I notice the stoops of her breasts and that starts the tingling, you know, the excitement for the rest of the day, the slow build up, the peeling the onion, so to speak. And I'm not calling Jelly Baby an onion any way, shape or form. And then as she sashays across the kitchen floor, putting the dishes away, it just stirs things a little bit more, and I give her a little glance so she can see, and a little smile comes back. And that's how things start, nice and slowly, and it builds up through the day. So maybe in the afternoon, while I'm enjoying a late afternoon, might be enjoying a glass of Amarone and Jelly Baby's out there mowing the lawn like she does. You know, I sit there and admire her. She comes in smelling her grass and dog shit and sweat's pouring out of her ruxters, that's armpits. And I think, whoa, what a woman. And I just give her a little glance and I say to her, Jelly, make sure tonight you have a shower and put on a sexy negligee. And then for hours on end, we're up there making love, nice and slowly, but gradually we build it up into that zenith, that climax. So that's kind of how I see the podcast a little bit, Kaza, and most other people do too, I think. But I did have a little look in to see who you are, because, you know, if you're a serious runner and things like that, then, you know, I wanted to maybe give you a little bit of a shout and see if I could help you in any way, shape or form. And it transpires, there's that word again, that you're a member of Stazza's stable. I don't even know who you are. I don't coach you. You're in there snooping around, snaffling information, which is good. That's fine. That's what it's there for. But I then had a little look at your Strava to see, you know, what your PB was for the marathon. And it's quite clear you're a very serious runner, a 3:28 marathoner. And your PB that you ran, I had a little look at your description of the race just to see if there was any information in there, you know, to add a bit of context to your time. And lo and behold, there's some stuff, and I think I'm going to be able to help you. So stay tuned here now, Kaza. I think you're going to like this. So I've just got, again, even though this is not scripted, I did write down a few points just so I get them correct. So in your PB, you said that you went out too fast, one toe bleeding, your bra chafing, and you got a stitch. These kind of all seem like 101 things for running. So let's start with this and we can help you here so they don't happen again, because I know you're running Boston, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of advice about Boston as well. So going out too fast is really a rookie mistake with a marathon. You've got to start off a little bit slower than your average marathon pace. Don't try and bank time. Control that excitement, that wham, bam, thank you, man stuff. Hold it back, let it build up. The one on the toe bleeding as well, get shoes that fit you. Maybe enter the competitions and you might win a pair of super shoes, but make sure you give us your size properly. And the bra chafing. Now, I'm not an expert on bra chafing, but I am an expert on bras. What I would suggest is that maybe you get some Body Glide or something like that. Make sure the bra fits properly, it's comfortable. You try it in training, make sure it's okay. And then the stitch. This is an interesting one, because the stitch is probably something to do with your nutrition and maybe taking on too much water. It's kind of like a beginner's mistake as well, where people take on too much water. They think they need loads of it, gallons of it, litres of it. You don't really. It could also be, and this might be something that you might want to go and see your osteopath about, it could be that your psoas has gone into spasm, because it kind of mimics a stitch. It's quite painful as well. So that might be something to do with your warm-up not being correct and things like that. But stay tuned and you can learn. So there's a few little tips for you there based on your PB. You know, maybe if you knew these things beforehand, you might have ran 8 minutes faster. Who knows? Now, I said there that you were doing Boston. I picked that up off your Strava. So the best of luck in Boston. But let me just give you a little bit of advice on Boston so it doesn't turn into a nightmare. Now, I don't know when you're travelling from New Zealand or if you're going somewhere else first, but Instaz is Stable is a fantastic app about jet lag and how to manage it. So you might want to scroll through the previous posts. There are about 1,300 posts in there about running, so you might need to dig in a bit. But I think it was probably about 2 or 3 months ago, Tim West from Japan sent it across to us. So have a little look at that. You might find it useful just to combat the jet lag when you fly up to Boston. On Boston itself, a few things that you want to be aware of about your fueling, given that that was probably an issue in your PB there, is, you know, make sure you get your breakfast done plenty of time so you can get to the bathroom. Don't overhydrate in the morning. Again, a beginner's mistake. You don't need to be drinking loads of water before the race. You'll be okay, even if it's hot. And then there's loads of standing around, so don't get anxious. Don't get yourself all built up and go off like a bat out of hell. You know, that wham, bam, thank you, ma'am stuff again. You know, control it. Now, the first 4 miles are downhill and a lot of people go heading off trying to bank time. Big mistake. Big, big mistake. What you want to do with the first 4 miles in Boston, let's say your average pace is 6 minutes. I know it won't be, but let's just say for argument's sake, it was 6 minute miling. You want to go down those first 4 miles, probably about 6:05 pace, and count them as 3 miles, like as a warm up almost. Again, another way to prevent stitches as well. So take that, let people pass you. And then when you get to mile 4, and this is the important part, this is the crucial part of Boston, is from 4 miles to 11 miles, whilst you're dropping down, it's undulating. So you're going up and down and up and down and up and down for quite a long time, Kaza, not too quickly, slowly. You've got to pace yourself there and be really careful, because when you're going uphill, your body will burn more glycogen. And what you don't want to do is get through the 11 miles and then your legs be dead, because 11 to 21 is pretty decent running. And that's the time where you want to settle in, just get into your rhythm, get through 20, get up that Heartbreak Hill nicely. We don't want your heart broken or anything like that. Get up the hill and then you've got a nice run in down to the finish. So if you manage the course that way, I think you should be able to have a good run. But there are a few other things that you're going to have to consider. Now, the weather in Boston can be unpredictable, of course, with really hot days, and then they've had the wind and the rain, which is famous from a few years ago. So just monitor the weather conditions and don't try and run the race by pace. You're going to have to run it by feel. Boston, you can't say, I'm going to run it 6 minute miling. You've got to try to sort of say to yourself, OK, I think I'm in 6 minute miling shape on the Boston course, but I just have to run it by feel. And if you've been training properly, you should know what that feels like, and it shouldn't be too much of a problem to execute. So another thing to watch out, and this is one that catches a lot of people out in Boston, is the dew point and humidity. I doubt you're aware about dew point and temperatures and things like that. So let me give you a little quick lesson on that. Check the weather forecast beforehand. Look what the humidity is going to be. Look what the temperature is going to be in the dew point. The thing to watch out for is not necessarily the temperature and the humidity, but the dew point. If the dew point matches the temperature, you have to be very careful. So for example, it's 20 degrees. It's going to be 20 degrees and the dew point is 20. That means you're in for a tough day and you might have to reassess your expectations, have another look at them, maybe dial them back a little bit. So a couple of little tips there for the serious runner, Kaza in New Zealand. Now you can ignore my tips, Kaza, and you can take the advice of your world famous countryman, world famous doper, Zane Robertson. Anyway, thanks for the feedback, much appreciated. And you might want to skip the next 20 minutes because I'm going to be rambling, because it's all part of the slow build up, sweetheart. Okay, so back to that, the rambling. So I did a post on Instagram, or a story, I think it's called, on Instagram yesterday, just giving a little teaser of what's coming over this year for the podcast and for Stazza Stable. Now, with me moving to Thailand, one of the things that's going to happen is I'm going to have a lot more time on my hands, which is great because it gives me some time, because I'm normally working 7 days a week from 7 o'clock in the morning. And like this morning, I start at six up until 9 o'clock at night. And that is 7 days a week. So having a bit of time to myself is good. That's something that I learned in Mauritius, having that bit of time. It enables me to get the book done and get some exercise done, which is difficult when you're coaching a lot of people all over the world in different time zones. So I thought to myself, okay, how can I use this time effectively? And I've had all of these ideas in my head. And I thought, this is an opportunity now to do these and give people, again, more free information based on the 37 years of run coaching from beginners through elites. And so I've come up with a few things. So most of you know I've been going to Kenya for the last 35 years on and off, and more recently up into Attend for the last 10 years or so. And we take stable mates out to Attend, you know, for running holidays, and running with the Kenyan sort of experience thing. And I've kept that within the group mainly, but we're now going to broaden that out and allow people outside of the group to go on the trips, because I think we've got them fine-tuned and dialed in really nicely with a good itinerary. And we've got some brand new accommodation as well, which is going to be excellent. And again, I would argue that we probably give the best value and the cheapest price for it. So the idea is not for me to make money. It's for the profit that comes in. I kind of reinvest into other people, runners that I sponsor, and Kenyans, and you know, we even build houses for Kenyans sometimes with the money. So hopefully people will be interested in that, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as the podcast moves on. I also do a Coaching the Coaches course in Kenya as well. Well, I've done two of them so far, and again, I've kind of kept that in group with the stable, just keeping it to a few people. So in the first course we had three or four people in there, and the last one we had three people. And that's the courses for people who are already coaches who want to develop their knowledge and experience, and for complete beginners as well. And as I mentioned last week, you know, the guys who are on the course, they've already come out like a bow hell, like a bit like Kaza and her fast starts. And hopefully they can slow down and pace themselves and carry on with this, the success that they started off with. So we're going to be doing a few more of those courses as well. And just changing it slightly to make, possibly an idea is to do one in Koh Samui as well. Depends what the interest like. But I would argue that it would be better to do it in Kenya, because you get the opportunity to run with my elite Kenyan runners and obviously get that whole Kenyan experience as well. And then the course sort of coincides, well, not coincides, but works alongside the Kenya trips as well. So the stuff that you're learning, you get to use on beginners, intermediates and elites as well. in a great environment. So that's another thing that we're going to be doing. And a few of the coaches that have been on my course and coaches who are in my group, whom I coach, are going to be having the opportunity to get involved in these things as well. So, I mean, already, like I said last week, James and Liz were out helping in Kenya, and Mark and Mahani as well. So, but we'll see as we move forward how that's going to develop. And then when I'm out in Thailand, before going to Thailand, I've been doing a lot of research. Quite a few people suggested it to me, Koh Samui. And I was watching loads of videos on the stuff, not the seedy stuff, Kaza, you know, the good, clean stuff, family stuff. And so I'm watching those videos, and I watched one on Muay Thai, I don't know how you say it. I'm going to have to learn that one pretty quickly. And it just gave me the idea about doing warm weather training camps out there. What an environment to it. 4 mile long beach, lovely roads, mountains, forests, perfect place. And it just so happens is the guy that I'm taking the accommodation off, he is a pro Muay Thai guy, and he has a training camp there. So beautiful accommodation, great food, reasonably priced. So stay tuned on that one as well. And just while we're on that one as well, we're going to be giving away for the first warm weather training trip that we do out in Koh Samui, a prize. So there'll be a competition in the next few weeks. So stay tuned for that one, because somebody's going to win the trip of a lifetime. And it's going to be a really simple question. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make that competition for today. So stay tuned to the end, and I've got a question for you. The clever guys out there and girls might know what that question's going to be already. I suspect you do. So that's one of the things I'm going to be doing now there. And also, a lot of people have said to me, given that I'm quite a handsome, dapper chap, and very witty and funny and humble, and I've got beautiful white teeth, that I'd make for a good YouTuber. Now, that goes against everything I believe in, because I cannot stand these influencer guys in running. They talk the biggest load of shite that there is. So, but then I thought about it. Well, it's another opportunity to give people, you know, free training knowledge, the benefit of my lifetime's experience. And also, again, it'll marry you in with the book as well. So the book will be out by then. And what locations to do it in, like Phi Island, Pupu Island, Sex City, Sin City, all those sorts of places, Koh Samui. So, yeah, we'll be announcing about those trips as well. And so stay tuned for those. So there's some of the things that are going to be coming over the next year or so. Now, you all might be thinking, Coach Stazza, John Stazza, Plonker, you can't even put up an Instagram post properly. And that's correct. I'm useless on tech stuff. It takes me about half an hour to do an Instagram story and trying to work out how to do the hashtags and edit things and things. I'm awful. But fortuitously, my brother's a global CTO for Adobe, and his speciality is all the tech stuff, and he's got all of the things behind him to help me and support me. And I'm having a chat with him about it. And he's going to be sort of getting involved and investing quite a bit. So we're going to get all the drones and all the cameras and things that you need. And again, I'm quite lucky here is that I mentioned previously about Nuch, the Thai lady who works in the sweatshops in Vietnam. She's actually good friends with Leo, who's the Muay Thai guy, the professional Muay Thai guy whose accommodation I'm going to be staying in. And she's got the skill set to do the YouTube stuff. In fact, her sister's brother Izzy works for YouTube, and she's happy to come along and help and show me and do the filming and things. So that's going to be good. So I'm looking forward to that. I've already got loads of great ideas for that one. Anyway, let's move away from Stazza's stable and all that sort of stuff. I think that's all the intro stuff done now, Kaza. That's a little bit like the sashaying across the kitchen floor, putting the dishes away and all that sort of stuff. So let's move on to mowing the lawn and sipping some Amarone. So we've talked about the content for the podcast from now till December is going to be looking at breaking 3 hours for the marathon and breaking 2:30. So what we're going to do is people within the stable who have broken 2:30 and 3 hours, I'm going to be looking at them kind of like case studies and giving you their experiences and the problems and challenges that they had and how they did. So the ups and downs as well. It's not all like glory. Sometimes people haven't quite made it, but then they come back and then do it again. And we'll also be looking at, just so it's dead easy for a coach to say, you know, I've coached, 640 people to break 3 hours for the marathon. You know, that's all just hearsay, and I could be making that up. Might well be, because I'm a very good liar. But I'm not really. I am a good liar, but I'm not making it up. So what we'll do is we'll pick out people from the group who are looking to break 3 hours and people who are looking to break 2:30. And a big shout out to Natasha Harvey and Aisling Fitzgerald, because they said, I hope you're going to include women in this. So, and which took me a bit by surprise, you know, because obviously I am. I've got lots of women who run sub three, and we've got a few women that are looking to break 2:30 as well. So we will be talking about them. In particular, just and again, a shout out for Kate Drew, whom I coached for a while. And then she runs a decent PB in Berlin Half Marathon. I think it was a year ago. She just put up a post on Instagram there a year ago, April, when she ran 73 minutes, and she was running there with Ailish and a few others from the England team. And unfortunately, she ended up having a high hamstring problem and had to have surgery. So she's just had that surgery. She's on the way back. And she gave me a shout there saying that, you know, she wants to get back, once she gets back and rehabbed and things, to get stuck into the training. So best wishes to Kate. And obviously we'll be featuring her in Kate's comeback and her road to glory. But just to kick things off, I just wanted to do a little bit of an overview of some of the people we are going to be focusing on. And I've written this down, so I said this isn't scripted in any way, shape or form. I told you I was a good liar. So let's have a look at a couple of the people anyway. So we'll start off with Brendan Sheehan, the Bull. So Brendan started training with me, I think, about 3 years ago. And he came from GA. For those people that don't know, that's like Irish football. It's like a mixture between basketball, volleyball, netball, football, touch rugby and things like that. And he was a really good player. So, and he had a lot of talent, a lot of speed and a lot of power. He just needed to be patient and develop his endurance. But Brendan is a winner, a guy, like, you know, he's an alpha male. He goes after it. And he unfortunately got a really nasty injury. He got osteitis pubis and was out for, I think, the better part of 18 months. So he started to make his comeback roughly around this time last year, maybe a bit later than that. And he's progressing nicely. He's being careful. He's taking his easy runs easy. He's done all the training properly. And he's gone from, well, he's a 3:12 marathon runner, and he's popped out a 73-minute half already. So I'm pretty certain that Brendan in Valencia will go sub 2:30. So we'll be having a look at Brendan's training. And specifically, we'll be looking at temporal flow training. That's something I've mentioned in previous podcasts and will be in the book. But we're going to go into more detail about the specific sessions and things that Brendan will be doing and why he'll be doing them. So that's Brendan. And Brendan's training partner is a guy called James Doran. Now, James has already broken 2:30. He ran 2:26:59 in Valencia. But the reason why I'm going to include him in this is because, you know, I remember years ago, I think 10 years ago, seeing James running in the Tralee Marathon. And I think he ended up running about 2:50 or something like that and was struggling. And James came to me a couple of years ago and has been improving really well. But what we want to do with James is take him from that 2:26:59 and try to get him down to that 2:21, 2:22 area. So we'll be looking at James's training as well, especially given that he trains with Brendan. And what you'll notice as we talk about this, while they train together, I'm not American, while they train together, their training isn't always exactly the same. And that's an important point to make with the training. It's not cut and paste stuff. You have to give the specific sessions for the individual to get the maximum out of them. So we'll have a little look at James as well. And we'll look at two more Jameses as well. James Reigate in England. James is a 2:31 guy, but he's been plagued with injuries for a long time. We've got him fixed up with an osteopath and he's back running. He only started with me probably about a year ago now, and it's been a bit hit and miss because we had to get him sorted out first. But he's starting to run well. He's going to be doing Valencia. So while we're talking about him breaking 2:30, that doesn't sound like much because he's a 2:31 guy, but I think he'll run a good bit faster than that, quite possibly, if we can keep him healthy, 2:25. So we'll be having a look at James because, again, his training's got to be completely different to Brendan's and to James Doran's as well because of his injury history, and that's something that we'll take a good look at as well. And then another guy is James Whittington. Now, James is a 2:52 guy, and I'd bet all of your houses that he's going to break 2:30 in Valencia. And that's going to take me, I think he ran 2:52 in about October time last year. So, you know, within the space of, what's that, about, I don't know, 14 months or so, we're going to take him from there to sub 2:30. And if we can keep him healthy again, and that's the big if, I'm sure he'll do it. James ran a little bit when he was younger, he's got a bit of talent. There's no doubt about that, and he's improving nicely. And what we're trying to do with James, again, because again, it's slightly different because he has got that running background. It's not like he came into running in adult life and there's talent there. But he was a 1500 meter runner. And one of the things when 1500 meter runners move up to the marathon, you've got to be careful because they try to run their sessions eyeballs out all the time. And that's something I've been teaching him. In fact, that was something I did with Riley Cook, who ran in the recent US Olympic trials. One of the things that Riley was doing when he moved up to the marathon after years out of running was he was running his sessions too hard. And again, it's trying to change that mindset with certain types of sessions and get them to learn that you don't have to have that sort of kind of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, pain up the alleyway. You need to take it slowly and sort of kind of caress it a little bit, really, and enjoy it. And it's a different type of pain, a pleasurable pain. So we'll be looking at James there, and then we'll dive into the Viking, Jochum. Now, Jochum, again, is somebody with something I suppose it would be fair to say a little bit of talent. He's run sub nine for 3,000. He's run 31 minutes for 10K, but he doesn't take the running too seriously. You know, he's one of these guys. He's really cool, Jochum, and he just sort of cruises through life. But he's at the stage now in his life where, you know, work-wise, things have settled down. He's got a great job. He's got a cheeky little girlfriend in Paris. And he's got time to get his training done. And he's focusing on it now. So we'll have a little look. Jochum's never ran a marathon before. He ran a half the other week in 73 minutes. And I think that was just, I think that's his first race in about 3 years or something like that. But he's back on track now. So we'll have a look at Jochum's training as well. Now, Jochum likes to like double up and do high mileage, you know, but relatively speaking, you know, he's a doubler. He can run 80 to 100 miles a week. Now, I always argue as well, you don't need to do doubles and you don't need to run more than six times a week to break 230. But some people, you know, they've just got that thing in them. And I think the thing with Jochum is Jochum could be like a 217 guy. So the mileage that he's been putting in over the years will stand to him. So we'll have a look at that. So his background's a little bit different to the other guys as well. And then we've got young Rhys down in Richmond, civil servant, yes, minister. Rhys come from a rowing background. Again, he's got talent. And this is what you find is that when people come from other sports, and if they were pretty decent at it, they can make good runners as long as you slow them down and explain to them that running's not like other sports. It takes time. You have to be careful because of the musculoskeletal system. You can't just go out and do loads of running and go too quickly. You just got to take your time with things. But Rhys ran 2:41 last year, and I'm pretty confident that Rhys is going to be going well under 2:30 in Valencia too. So we'll have a look at Rhys's background as well and his running. And then finally, just from the sub 2:30 guys, we're going to look at a great young man. He's my favourite in the stable. It's Sean's I Like a Stag Stokes. So Sean was a professional footballer at Cardiff City, I think it was, if I remember correctly. And just came to me, he was just running all over the place. He came to me injured around about this time. Oh, it was this time last year, actually, he came to me. So we got him all sorted out, and he's a bit hit and miss. He needs to get some consistency, and he's really passionate about it. And he's just trying to control that passion. Do you know what I mean, Kazza? Control. It's all about control, sweetheart. So with Sean, we've got to try and control him. And he went and did Valencia last year off hardly any training at all. He'd been sick and stuff like that. And he popped out at 2:49, which is pretty good running. And it just shows that he's got a lot of talent and he is progressing really nicely. Now, I'm trying to get him to jump in with James and Brendan so we can learn from them and their experiences. Because with Sean, he's really sort of like gung-ho, alpha male type, gets stuck in now, wants it now. And that's something that Brendan can teach him from his experiences as well. So that's one of the good things about training in a group. Whereas James is a little bit long in the tooth. He's been around the running scene for quite a while, understands a lot about running, and he can teach him too. So it's marrying those people together and putting them into a little group. So we'll look at that dynamic. Because again, like I said, all three of them will be the training will be slightly different because, of course, Sean hasn't got the same experience as James. And Brendan's not got the same experience either, although Brendan's running similar times to James now, catching him up a little bit. So it'll be interesting to look at that, I think. So there you go. So, and finally, just for you, Kazza, we're going to be focusing on Mark O'Mahony next week. So like I said last week, Mark is a 3:22 guy, and I'm pretty confident as well that he's going to go sub 2:30 this year in Valencia. So within the space of a year and having been out for a year, 18 months injured, with a wiggly waggly tailbone, Mark will go to sub 230. And the interesting thing about Mark is after getting over the injury, he was an ultra runner. He came from like kickboxing in Muay Thai, and he was the one who recommended Kosumi to me to go out there. He'd been out there four times. As I said, he broke his tibia, and that was the end of his kickboxing in Muay Thai. So he decided to take up running and ran 100 miler off hardly any training at all. And then really wanted to get into the running properly. He contacted me, ran a 12-hour race that he won. And then he had his eyes set on breaking the Irish record for 24 hours in Belfast. And he travelled up. He was in great shape, and he travelled up for the race. And on the morning of the race, he did a COVID test and tested positive. So that was the end of that. And then he had problems with his wiggly waggly tailbone, which we're going to talk about next week, because Mark is going to be on the podcast next week. He's going to come up from Cork. I think it's Cork he lives in. And he's going to sit here with me and have the bants with me. So you might not like that one there, Kazza. There might be a little bit of joking and rambling and chit-chat. But we will get stuck into the serious training because, you know, Mark's got a big job on his hand this year. What's good about Mark as well is he did my coaching course last year or 18 months ago. And he's developed quite a nice client base there. And his runners are having great success. Fantastic coach. I mean, one of the things I kind of pride myself in is investing in the people and giving them time and doing calls and things like that. One of the most important parts of coaching. And Mark is even better than me at it. Not that I'm saying I'm great at it. I'm pretty good at it, but Mark is fantastic. He really cares about the people that he coaches. And you'll get that and his passion, you know, his laid-back passion next week. And we've got a few surprises for Mark, a few questions. He's going to have his guard up and make sure I don't catch him with a left hook. So that's what's coming next week for you, Kazza. We're going to be focusing in on Mark's life, his training, how he's going to break 230. So just a bit of context on that for you, Kazza. He was only a little bit quicker than you with a 322. Well, let's call you a 322 runner, Kazza, because if you didn't have the bra issues, the toe issue, the stitch and going out too fast, you might have ran 322. So it might be interesting for you to listen to it next week, Kazza. There's going to be some good training chat in there. And just on the competition for this week, we're focusing on this week's competition will be for the two-week warm weather training camp in Koh Samui. So you just have to pay your flight out there. You get your accommodation, you get your food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, all those noodles and things and spices in a beautiful setting and running on the beach and then having some classroom work as well. So I think it's going to be a fantastic trip. So let's think of an appropriate question for this week's podcast. Yes, I've got it. What was the name of the woman that gave the constructive criticism to the podcast? Love you all. Stay safe. Speak to you soon.